Hi, Rebecca Shear here. Before we get to today's story, I have some exciting news. As Circle Round continues its live tour across the United States, we're about to announce even more performances in some very cool places. Our shows have been selling out fast, so if you want to be first in line for tickets, join the Circle Round Club. As a member of the Circle Round Club, not only will you get first dibs on tickets, you'll also get special Circle Round swag, ad-free episodes, bonus bedtime stories, monthly newsletters, and exclusive access to our club store, where you can add on extras like a personalized birthday message from me. Sign up today at wbur.org/circleroundclub. And now, on with the story.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
Think about one of your special talents. Maybe you have a knack for making up poems, or you can do a really cool magic trick. Perhaps you have an ear for music, or an eye for detail. Sometimes we have special talents without even knowing it. And as we'll hear in today's tale, brilliant things can happen when those talents come to light. I'm Rebecca Shear, and welcome to Circle Round, where story time happens all the time. Today, our story is called The Laughing Bird. Versions of this folktale were originally told among the Aboriginal peoples of Australia. Some really great people came together to bring you our adaptation of this folktale, including Kenny Curtis, host and co-creator of the National Geographic Kids podcast, Greeking Out. So, circle around, everyone, for The Laughing Bird. Way, way back, ages before humans came along, the world was inhabited by animals. The animals could talk to one another. And most of the time, what the animals were saying was something like this.
Oof!
Oops.
Ow, pardon me.
You see, way back then, the earth was dark. There was no sun in the sky, just stars. But the tiny twinkling lights weren't bright enough for the animals to see anything. So as a result, they were always...
Ouch!
Watch it!
Bumping into each other.
Sorry.
The animals were also always shivering because the stars didn't provide the earth with any heat. So, as you can imagine, between the dark and the cold, the animals were often rather unhappy.
Ugh! Will you stop squishing my wings?
Only if you stop trampling my tail.
Your tail? He stomped all over mine first.
The only one who was never unhappy was Kookaburra. No matter what, the fluffy little bird spent all of his days, or was it nights, laughing.
Come now, everybody. I know we're trapped in constant darkness and cold, but what's the use of fighting? Can't we find a way to lighten things up? And not get so hot under the collar? Seriously, though, I would make things better if I could, but... I don't have any bright ideas. In fact, I'm in the dark.
Here's the thing, though. Much as Kookaburra was convinced that his sense of humor was on fire.
Oh, I see what you did there. Good one.
The other animals didn't exactly agree.
Oh, for goodness sakes, Kookaburra.
Enough with the jokes already.
Can you just... cool it!
Cool it? Can I just cool it? Well, I guess I could do that. But isn't it cool enough out here already? In the dark and freezing cold?
Eventually, the other animals ran out of patience.
Kookaburra, your constant cackling is driving us up the wall.
So we're sending you away.
So that none of us will ever have to hear you laugh again.
Wait, you're sending me away?
Yes, Kookaburra.
You're kicking me out?
Yes, Kookaburra.
So what you're saying is, you're leaving me out in the cold? Get it? I'm in the cold.
Yes, Kookaburra, we get it.
Now go.
Find some other place to live.
And laugh.
And so...
All right, then.
He did.
Well, I guess I'll be on my way, but given how dark it is, I'd better travel light! Get it, light! Because it's more dark!
Now, while all of this was happening down on Earth, something else was happening up in the Sky World, the heavenly home of the powerful spirits known as the Sky People. The Sky World was a bit like this world, only it had light, since the Sky People used their special sky trees to build campfires. Remember how the animals on Earth could see stars? Well, those twinkling little dots were actually the campfires of the Sky People. And the spirits often sat around those campfires, discussing their heavenly business.
My fellow Sky People, we must talk about the animals.
I agree. They seem very unhappy in the dark, cold world below.
Indeed. Our heavenly campfires make their sky glitter with stars, but they do nothing to bring light or heat.
So the question is, what can we do about it?
Yes. How can we brighten up the earth?
And make it warm.
The Sky People put their heavenly heads together, trying to come up with a solution.
How about... No.
What if we... No.
Maybe we could... No.
But then, at last...
Aha!
The proverbial light bulb turned on, and with it came an idea that would light up the whole world. How do you think the Sky People will bring light and warmth to the world below? We'll find out after a quick break.
Support for the Circle Round podcast comes from Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform that lets you find candidates fast. Ditch the busy work and use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/circle round. That's Indeed.com/circle round. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back to Circle Round. I'm Rebecca Shear. Today, our story is called The Laughing Bird. Before the break, the animals were feeling every bit as gloomy as their cold, dark world. The only one who seemed happy was Kookaburra. But the other creatures found the fluffy little bird's constant laughter so irritating that they kicked him out and cast him off. The Sky People knew how unhappy the animals were, so they decided they would create...
The sun!
A great big burning mass that will light up the world below.
And bring it warmth.
The Sky People set about collecting wood from their sky trees, more wood than they had ever collected for their campfires. They piled the wood higher and higher and higher until...
There!
That should do it.
Time to set it ablaze!
So they did. And the moment the colossal, towering stack of wood caught fire, the flames began to dance and spread, flaring, flickering, and flashing as they grew bigger and brighter and warmer. And far, far below, way down on Earth, the animals let out a gasp. Because all of a sudden, thanks to the enormous campfire blazing in the sky, they could see light and feel heat.
Look at those mountaintops, ringed with green trees.
And those streams and rivers, sparkling with silver.
And look at us. I had no idea we were so feathery and furry.
Eventually, the fire began to die away, until the last glowing embers streaked the sky with glorious shades of crimson, pink, and orange, the first sunset the world had ever seen. And when those embers died down, the sky grew dark again, and the animals slept. After some hours, the sky people collected more wood and built a new fire. And as a new day dawned on Earth, the animals woke up again.
Another beautiful day.
So bright.
So warm.
This same thing went on day after day, night after night. For a while, anyway. You see, even sky people need their sleep. And as time wore on, the spirits didn't always wake up on time to light a fire for the world below. So sometimes night on Earth was very, very long. In fact, if the sky people kept on snoozing, sometimes night wore on for days. The sky people knew they had a problem. So they gathered together for a meeting.
My fellow sky people, the animals on Earth depend on us to dawn their days and bring on their nights.
We must find something that will rouse us from our sleep each day. Some sort of alarm.
Yes, but what could that alarm possibly be?
It was a very good question. After all, this story takes place way, way back, remember? Way before anything like an alarm clock was invented. So the sky people went down to Earth to get ideas for what might wake them up. They heard the trees swaying and creaking.
Too quiet.
They heard the tide ebbing and flowing.
Too calming.
They heard the rivers rushing and burbling.
Too soothing.
But then, as they scoured the world for the perfect morning alarm clock, they heard it. A sound that wasn't at all quiet, or calming, or soothing. And in that moment, they all agreed,
it's perfect!
The sky people swooped down to where the sound was coming from. And there, perched high in a gum tree, throwing back his feathered head and letting out a peal of laughter, was Kookaburra. But the moment he caught sight of the sky people, his laughter ceased.
Who are you?
We are the sky people.
We're the ones who bring day and night.
And you are the one we've been looking for.
Me?
Kookaburra shrugged his wings.
Why would you be looking for me? Oh, wait, I get it. My fellow animals sent you, didn't they? Even though they cast me away, they're still annoyed with my laughter, aren't they? So you're here to shut me up.
On the contrary, Kookaburra.
We're here to do the opposite.
We want you
to laugh.
Kookaburra blinked his eyes.
Wait a second. Are you being serious right now? Or are you joking? I mean, don't get me wrong, I do love a good joke. I even love a not-so-good joke. I mean, that's what got me into hot water with the other animals, right? Not that any of the water was actually hot at the time, because we didn't have any heat. See what it is? No heat.
Attaboy, Kookaburra.
That's what we want to hear.
Keep going.
I mean, the other animals weren't just annoyed with me. They were hot and bothered. They were all steamed up. So they gave me the cold shoulder.
As Kookaburra laughed and laughed, the sky people grinned and grinned. Not because they were warming to Kookaburra's sense of humor.
I see what you did there. Good one.
But because they were convinced their problem was solved. And when the little bird's laughter finally died down, They gazed at him with delight.
Kookaburra, just as we suspected, you are exactly what we need.
You will be the one who wakes us up each day so we can light our fire in the sky.
And you will do it in a way that only you know how.
And what would that way be?
Laughter, of course.
We want you to laugh your little head off each and every morning.
And that's no joke.
Well, Kookaburra gratefully accepted the job. And every day after that, at the exact same time, he would wake up, blink open his eyes, stretch open his beak, then throw his head back and laugh. The sound of his boisterous cackling would instantly rouse the sky people from their sleep. And as the light and warmth of their campfire blazed down to the earth below, the other animals would become more and more grateful for the cackling critter they had once cast away.
It's morning again. Beautiful morning.
Thank you, Kookaburra.
Have we ever told you how much we love your laugh?
To this day, Kookaburra's raucous call is among the first you'll hear on an Australian morning. And the laughing, chuckling bird has become something of a national hero. Songs have been written about him. Sports teams have been named after him. His image has appeared on postage stamps and banknotes. And for over 30 years, Australians have minted a coin called the Silver Kookaburra. It's a bright and shiny tribute to the cheerful, light-hearted bird who didn't just get the last laugh. He got the first laugh, too.
I see what you did there!
Now it's your turn. Think about someone in your life who has a talent or skill you admire. Perhaps you have a grandparent who tells fantastic stories, or a friend who can kick the soccer ball all the way across the field. Next time you see this person, try telling them how much you admire their talent and skill. They may very well respond by telling you how much they appreciate something cool that you can do. Just like we heard in today's story, recognizing and appreciating our own skills and gifts and those of others can truly light up the world. This week's episode, The Laughing Bird, was adapted by me, Rebecca Shear. It was edited by Sophie Codner. Our original music and sound design is by Eric Shimalonis. Our artist is Sabina Hahn. Sabina has created a black and white coloring page for all of our Circle Round stories, and you can print them out and color them in. Grown-ups, visit our website, wbur.org/circleround, and click on Coloring Pages. Special thanks to this week's actors, Kevin Corbett, Jessica Rao, Dawn Ursula, and Kenny Curtis. Kenny Curtis is the host and co-creator of Greeking Out, the mythology podcast from National Geographic Kids. Our featured instrument this week was the log drum. You can learn more about this hollow percussion instrument and see a photo of Eric Shimalonis playing it on our website. Again, that's wbur.org/circleround. And while you're at wbur.org/circleround, you can check out our upcoming live events, get your hands on our Circle Round picture books, and you can become the newest member of the Circle Round Club. It's a super fun way to support the public radio podcast you love and get all sorts of perks, including ad-free episodes, bonus bedtime stories, and first dibs on tickets to Circle Round events. You can also get an inside look at Circle Round with our weekly activity email, our monthly newsletter, and with Eric Shimalonis' videos about the musical instruments you hear on Circle Round. Plus, you'll get exclusive access to the Circle Round Club store, where you can get super special extras, including our tote bag, cuddly lion, and a personalized birthday message from me, Rebecca Shear. Become a member today at wbur.org/circleround. Grown-ups, if you enjoy Circle Round, please leave us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast app. It helps other listeners find the show. Circle Round is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Rebecca Shear. Thanks for circling round with us. Now that you've made it to the end of this Circle Round episode, we want to know, what's your favorite Circle Round story? Thousands of fans just like you have been telling us about the Circle Round stories they like best. Take a listen. Maybe one of their favorites is one of yours, too.
My name is May. I live in Galway, and my favorite story is the rice cakes and the oni. My favorite bit is the rice cake rolling down the hill.
My name is Lila, and I live in Troy, New York. My favorite story is the nine sticks. My favorite part is when they figure out who six got shorter.
Hi, my name is Eleanor. I'm from Sunnyvale, California. My favorite Circle Round is the Weeping Witness. My favorite part is where the queen makes a man dance so that he can tell the truth.
My name is Cora, and I'm from Massachusetts. And my favorite Circle Round story is the Missing Knight, because I like the part when the queen is playing the game over again.
Hi, my name's Lennox. I live in Columbia, South Carolina, and my favorite Circle Round story is Amos and the Ogre, because I like the part where the ogre throws a big giant boulder onto Target.
My name is Sierra, and I live in Portland, Oregon, and my favorite story is The Empty Barrel, because I like the part when she goes flying in her barrel and there's no water in it.
My name is Audrey, and I live in Calgary, Canada, and my favorite story is Chameleon's Contest, because I like the part when Sea Goddess says,
My name is Van, and I live in New Zealand. My favorite Circle Round is the Lion's Whisker, and my favorite part is when brother and sister give the lion some meat.
Did someone mention a story you've missed? Not to worry. Grown-ups, you can find all of our Circle Round stories, plus links to the Circle Round Club, picture books, coloring pages, and oh so much more on our website, wbur.org/circleround.